Thank you. Well, good morning. Whoops. Just so you know, I got a loud voice. It's a great privilege to be here with you all this morning. As Phil has said, we've got four daughters, three married. You may be wondering why I've got no hair. I just explained it, four daughters. We've now got six grandchildren, and believe it or not, five of them are girls as well. So we've got one grandson. He's 3 years old, and he's a stocky little fella, and he's a real boy. He beats up on his big sister and weighs about the same as her, even though he's a good year younger than her. So they're lots of fun. And Ruth and I lead a local church in Melbourne, Australia. We lead Acts Global Churches in Australia, which is a group of about 95 churches, and then have other connections around the world, as Phil has already said. This morning I want to talk to you about mental health, believe it or not. And I don't know about you, but in our nation it's a serious issue. I'm not sure if it's now 3 out of 4 people suffer from some form of mental health issue, ranging from the very worst to the slightest. We live in a challenging time. You know, I know in your own country you're going through challenging times, and even though in the West most of us are wealthier than we've ever been, if you go back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, things were quite different. And some people will say things were more difficult back then, but can I say this? I think things are probably more difficult now, but it's different to what it was 30, 40 or 50 years ago. It's different because in the old days, you used to, and did you have that phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? We have that phrase as well. That used to be great because you could look at the guy next door, see that he's bought a new boat, and you could compare whether your boat was the same as his boat. There was only one comparison taking place. Now with Facebook and Instagram, keeping up with the Joneses means you've got to keep up with everybody on Facebook and Instagram. And somehow, some way, whether we realize it or not, and I'm not suggesting we should be comparing, but what actually happens is we instinctively compare. I'm sure many of you have got friends on Facebook and Instagram, and what happens is you look at where they're going on holidays, and there's this part of you going, our holiday's not that good. Where we went wasn't as exciting as that. And then you see something else that they're doing. They take photos of meals. Why they do that, I don't know. But they take, and you think, wow, that looks so much better than what my wife cooks. I mean, not really. But what happens is all of this plays on us. If you look at the media today, go back 30 or 40 years ago, people didn't have access to the media like we have it today. And some will say, oh, it's a great improvement. Can I suggest to you that in some ways it might be an improvement, in other ways it's a deterrent? I don't know that we're built to handle the tragedy that we read about in the media day in and day out. In the past, if there was something significant that happened in another country, it would take quite some time. You'd either have to read it in the newspaper, you may hear it on the radio, or it would be on the nightly news, which only came on once a day. And you know, you had time to process the tragedy that might be happening. And often the tragedies we heard about were famines in some faraway place. But today what happens is every one of us can turn our phone on and there's news right there. It may be on Facebook, it may be on Instagram, but it may be on some other source. And you find out about every single tragedy as you go along. And what happens is initially you feel the weight and the pressure of that until it becomes something that you carry with you day by day. You know, I know in your own country there's been shootings recently, and there was a challenging situation, was it just last week here in Philadelphia? And what happens is it affects you. It creates weight on you. And in the West, the challenge with regard to mental health is worse than it's ever been. I know in Australia, I think we're leading the way, which is a terrible statistic, with regard to young men committing suicide. And it's because the world has changed and we're not necessarily built to handle the pressure and the weight of the things that are happening. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel and chapter 30. In recent surveys, they say hope is dwindling and that younger people have less hope than in any previous generation. And some people might say, oh, that's just their outlook, that's just their attitude. No, no, no. It's because of the way the world has changed. I'm old enough now to have grown through some of the changes. But for a young person today, from the moment they're born, they enter into a world that is connected and creates pressure right from the very beginning. Many of you have lived through highs and lows, you know, recessions and times of great prosperity, and you've worked your way through ups and downs. Lots of younger people today have only lived in our current climate, and it affects them. Now, some people will say the last 20 years have been great economically, and in some ways, I know we had the GFC and global financial crisis in 2008, but most young people, that didn't have impact on them. And the challenge for them is they grow with a different outlook on life. I want to read to you from 1 Samuel and chapter 30, and it's an interesting story. It says, verse 1, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They'd crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They'd carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam and from Jezreel, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found his strength in the Lord. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. David asked the Lord, "Shall I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you." In the King James Version, it says in verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved for every man, for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Whatever you're reading on the climate that we currently live in, there is some similarities in our experience and in this story. Young people don't have the same hope that we had as we were growing up. We're bombarded with bad news stories. It's rare that you get a good news story. Young people in particular are looking for a way out of the pressure that they experience. And you know, as the church, we have a responsibility to do something about that. And sometimes our stories are not enough. They need something more than that. And in this particular story, what we find is David and his soldiers return back weary from many battles. I don't know that I've ever known weariness like these guys would have known. They'd fought, and I know it's a different time and a different era, but they'd fought, they'd battled, they'd killed many people. And they got home to at a point at which they were probably felt like they couldn't walk anymore, but when they got to their homes into Ziklag, in the distance they seen probably the smoke. And as they were riding or walking back to their town, they realized that not only were their homes burned down, but their wives and their children were all gone. I don't know if you can understand how they must have felt at that point. You know, it's bad enough handling issues when you aren't tired, but when you're really tired, the smallest thing can set you off. Most of the time, I have a great relationship with my wife. But when she gets really tired, when I get really tired, the little things make a difference. Aggravation increases, the tolerance decreases, and the tension begins to be felt. Is that right? Yeah, okay. She says it's only my fault. You know, when I'm tired and I come home and there's shoes at the front door, it hasn't happened as much these days, but there used to be shoes at the front door. But the girls, instead of leaving their shoes to the side, they would leave them right in the doorway. Yeah, they do, yeah. But the tireder I am, the worse that it gets, you know. It's not that the shoes are any different. It's just when you get tired, your tolerance decreases. You get aggravated easier. Now, these guys are tired. They're weary from the many battles that they'd faced. The enemy had broken into their town and burned it to the ground. The enemy had taken their women and children and David's wives and children as well. That phrase, it says, they cried until they could cry no more. Again, you know, that's the depths of despair. It's like they'd run out of tears. We're not talking about soft people. We're talking about hardened warriors, men of war. And it says they cried until they could cry no more, which says something to me about their physical and emotional exhaustion. The impact that this event had had on them was profound, extraordinary. The soldiers, David's closest friends, became embittered and took it out on their leader. Do you know, when you're going through a hard time, you don't usually simply process it. You usually look for someone to blame. When things go wrong for some people, they blame God. They say, well, why didn't God stop that from happening? It's not that that person that they're blaming is necessarily to blame. It's just that when things go wrong, you look for someone to blame. I know when I lose something, I said, Ruth, I'm sure I gave that to you last. That's where it's gone. Where did you put it? You know, what happened? A few people are smiling. Does that happen in other households as well? But when something goes wrong, you look for someone to blame. And these soldiers returning back from their battle, having lost their homes and their wives and their children, they begin to look to someone to blame. They didn't blame God. They began to blame David. Imagine that. He was the leader of this group, the leader of the crew. The men who were closest to him began to turn their fingers towards him and point at him. David's closest friends wanted to kill him. It's one thing to be blamed. It's another thing to become the target of a group of men who were killers. You know, when we argue with one another, we argue with one another. But there isn't usually the potential of a loss of life. These men were used to taking lives. They turned and pointed their finger at David, and it said that they looked towards him to kill him, to take his life. I don't know if you can imagine the situation, but it was clearly very, very difficult. David, at this point, needed courage. No one else was going to help him. The Bible says he found it in the Lord. I want you to think about that for a moment. I know none of us have been in David's circumstance, but probably there are similarities. There are times when you're going through difficulty, when you're going through strife, when it feels like everything is going wrong. And what happens in those times is it feels like there's no one listening, no one to talk to, no one who understands. And it's in those times that we need to do what David did. We need to turn to God and find strength from Him when we don't feel like we can find it anywhere else. And God offers strength. He offers courage. He offers help if we're willing to receive it. But too often what we do is we stay in blame shifting mode. We gain strength from blaming someone else rather than looking to find strength for ourselves. Can you just pass that water? And you know, thank you. David here is in a position where his friends are blaming him, the people he should be gaining strength from. His friends are looking to kill him, his closest friends, the allies, his lifetime allies, are looking to kill him. And he's got nowhere to go, but it says, their passage simply says, but David found his strength in the Lord, or David was encouraged in the Lord. And I want to talk to you for a few moments about how it is that he did that. The first point is this: he reminded himself about who God is. Not who God was, but who God is. When we're looking to gain strength from God, what we need to do is a simple mental process of reminding ourselves of who God is in our life. You know, we can recall the testimonies of strength, the testimonies of breakthrough, the testimonies of provision. And when we remind ourselves of who God is, it does something to us. You know, when our girls were little and things were going wrong at school, a way of helping them through their difficulties were reminding them of the things that we felt about them. So your friend doesn't care about you. Don't worry, Mum and Dad love you. We'll always look after you. We'll always be there for you. We'll always help you out. And in some senses, what we're trying to do is build strength into our children at a time where it seems others are taking strength from them. And David himself, in this particular position, he's reminding himself about who God is. He reminds himself about what God has done in the past. You'd imagine David by this time is already an accomplished warrior. He'll have had many battles that he's won, that he's already recalled, that are not even recorded in the scriptures. But I reckon he probably took himself way back to the start as a shepherd, where he fought a bear and a lion. And a little later on, where he fought Goliath. And he probably thought to himself, you know what? God got me through then. He's going to get me through again. He did it in the early part of my life. He's done it in the later stages of my life, and he's going to get me through this. My friends might not be with me, but that's okay. If God is with me, then I can overcome. Remember when he fought Goliath? It wasn't David and all of the Israelites who were overcoming in that circumstance. As a matter of fact, the Israelites were saying, you shouldn't go out there. But David went out there in his own strength and in the strength of the Lord. And it was that as he recalled that made the difference for him. The third point I want to remind you of is this. He reminded himself about the call of God on his life. There were promises in David's life that were yet to be fulfilled. God was not about to abandon David despite the threat of death that was knocking at the door. God already had spoken to him in days gone by through prophets and had encouraged him and built him up. And David knew that those prophecies are yet to come to pass. And so David, in this deepest, darkest moment, reminds himself of who God is, reminds himself about what God has done in the past, and reminds himself about what God has promised already for his future. He reminded himself about unfulfilled promises, reminded himself about the lion, the bear, and Goliath. And then he remembered again about the things that he had yet to do in the future. Do you know, in the time when we feel down, the time when darkness seems to surround us, what we need to do is what David did. We need to hear from God again. God wants to speak into your life. He wants to encourage you. He wants to build you up so that you're ready to fight the battle that you're currently facing. And it's no good comparing your battle to somebody else's. Just like we do on Instagram and Facebook, we often compare the person who's doing better than us, and we say, oh, woe is me. We never go the other way around. We never say, oh, look at that person. I'm doing better than them. Do you know what? Comparison is evil. It's unhealthy. It destroys the person you're comparing yourself with as well as yourself in the process. It's a work of the enemy, and we need to stay right away from it. But can I say this? God has got something in mind for your life. All you need to do is hear from him again. Too often what happens is we block off our ears. In the midst of the challenges that we're facing, we block off our ears and we miss out on hearing the words of encouragement that God wants to speak. Do you know, despite all of that, David was still in the same position. That was an internal thing that would have been happening inside of him. He would have been reminded about who God is. He would have been reminding himself about what God had done for him in the past. Would have been reminding himself about the unfulfilled promises and the things that were going to happen to his future. But what he needed to do was now win the people over who were trying to kill him. Can I suggest to you that he did it exactly the same way? But he would have done it with his hands on their shoulders. He would have went down to his friends and he'd say, hey, remember the battle we fought back in this place where you and I stood together? We took on 100 and we won. Remember the time where you wanted to give up and I was with you and I said, we can get through? Don't you think God is still with us? He's still on our side. You want your wife back. She may not want you, but you want your wife back. And your kids, we can get them back if you'll stand with me. You know, the two of us together, even if it's just the two of us, we can get her back. We can get your kids back. And what happened is David began to walk around the troops again, despite the fact that internally he knew they wanted to kill him. And he began to place his hands on their shoulders, began to speak to them and rally them to the cause again. And we know as we read this story through that because David was encouraged in the Lord, or because David found his strength in the Lord, what he did was he turned the whole thing around. In the midst of impending doom, he turned the whole thing around. My question to you is, who is it that needs you to make the difference in their life? You may say, well, it's all right for everybody else. Things are going wrong for me. David's in a really precarious position here. Everything was going wrong for him. But somehow, some way, he was in the same place. His wives had been stolen. His children had been stolen. His home's been burnt down as well. It's not like he alone stood strong. He gained his strength from God, and in gaining his strength from the God, in the midst of his despair, he rallied people to believe God again and to go out and to recover what had been lost. It doesn't matter what your position is today. God can and will do the same thing for you if only you'll take time to hear from him. If only you'll take time to recall what God has done in your past. If only you'll take time to recall what he's yet to do in your life that has already been promised. If only you'll take the time to let him speak into your spirit, God will bring about a profound victory, not only for you, but for those around about you. And you can be an encouragement to one another. Do you know, when I think about the church is a place where people should receive hope. Is that right? Yeah. And do you know, the mistake we make is people think hope should come from here. No, it doesn't come from here. It comes from there. You're the ones who have the most opportunity to speak to one another. Yeah, of course, we're all encouraged by the preaching of the word. We're encouraged by the atmosphere of worship, but the real work begins amongst the people who are the church. The building is not the church. We are the church. You and I are the church, and we all carry, if you like, the Spirit of God within us, and we have the power to change the circumstance and the situation of somebody around us simply by our words of encouragement. David found his courage or strength in the Lord, and then he got around those who were with him, who were wanting to kill him. He still was able to turn them around. And you know, there are people in this community that need to be encouraged. Not outside of this building, inside of this building. There are if we took it upon ourselves simply to find words to encourage, then it will make a significant difference. It's just some words. And it starts with a willingness within our heart. Do you know, some people won't encourage because they don't feel they can articulate well what they want to say. Can I say the stumbling words are as encouraging as the articulate ones? Do you know, we've all been encouraged by children. And there is something profound when a child attempts to communicate what they're feeling. And even if it's not really clear, It's the feeling that comes across, and it makes a significant difference. Can I say to you, whatever your ability with regard to articulating what you feel, it's less important than your intention. It's less important than your intention, and people can be encouraged, will be encouraged, if only you'll attempt to do so. Do you know, outside of this, you go to another community. Some of you may live in this community. Some of you have a community in your workplace, in your schools, in your neighborhood. And there'll be people there that can benefit from your encouragement. We talk about wanting to win people to Christ. Well, if we can't encourage them, then the possibility of winning them to Christ decreases dramatically. If we become people with a message of hope in our voices, then the chance of them wanting to buy into what it is that we're doing increases dramatically. The men who wanted to kill David were turned around because he took the time to encourage them again. So we want to win this community. How do we begin? Simply by words of hope, by sharing words of hope that make a difference to somebody else. Do you see, even the most pessimistic person needs encouragement. Even the most disappointed person needs encouragement. The most optimistic person needs encouragement. It's about placing courage in. Because often what happens is the world is sapping away our strength. We're not built to take in the media that we take in. We're not built to take on the burdens that we take on. We're not built to face up to the stresses that the world is trying to impress upon us. the Bible is a guide or a rule or an encouragement on how we're to handle those things. But too often, it seems to be imposed on us. If only we would stand up and encourage one another, then our ability to bear the burden would increase dramatically. Now, I don't know your position today. Some of you may be feeling just like David felt way back then. You may feel like you've got no friends. You may feel like there isn't anyone to encourage you. As a matter of fact, you may feel like everyone is against you. It could be that you're in the place of David's friends where something has happened to you so devastating that you're simply looking for someone to blame. There's an opportunity for you to gain strength from God again, if only you'd be willing to receive it. Will you stand together with me this morning? I'm going to pray. Father, we're here together in this place, coming from diverse backgrounds, from different experiences, from seasons of joy, but also from perhaps seasons of sadness. And Father, I know that every single one of us needs an injection of hope that comes from you. And that hope at times comes internally as we seek you, as you speak to us, and at other times it comes necessarily through another individual. I pray for everyone in this congregation this morning that you would move by your Holy Spirit and that you would enable each of us to take on the challenge of encouraging one another. That we would look out for one another and not only look for those who are in the deepest and darkest depths, but even those who are optimistic, that Father, we would take on responsibility to find words to say or things to do that would help them through their challenging situation. Father, as a church, what we want to do is we want to reach out and touch other individuals in our community that need hope as well. And so I pray today that, Father, you would give us new and innovative ways to touch the lives of others around us. That you would give us the strength and the courage we need to step out and to indicate that perhaps we're praying or that we want to help in some practical way for someone who's in need. Father, I ask that you would move by your Holy Spirit today and that you would touch us in this place. Just while everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, it may be that you've been struggling with some mental health issue. Because really this whole passage is about the mental health and well-being of those men who'd returned from war. Returned disappointed, hurt, despairing, and in a place where they cried until they could cry no more. Maybe today that you want God to come and touch you in your circumstance and you've been fighting challenges with regard to your thinking, perhaps feelings of depression or being upset. Perhaps you found yourself in a place where you're looking to blame others because things haven't worked out the way you thought they'd work out. Maybe what you need today is the same injection of hope that David received, that those soldiers received from David. That's you today. And do you want God to simply touch you where you are? I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want you to just simply lift your hand and say, hey, God, I need your help today. There's a situation in my family. There's a situation in my workplace. There's a situation in my neighborhood. There's a situation in my own thinking even that needs your input. If you've raised your hand, thank you for raising your hand. You can place it back down once you've raised your hand. It's something between you and God. And I just pray right now that as those that have raised their hands, Father, you see and know every circumstance. And I pray that in the same way that David was able to recall all that you had done for him and to hear from you again, I pray for everyone who's lifted their hands this morning that you would touch them in their situation, that you would give them strength, that you would encourage them, that they would walk out of this place with a spring in their step and a boost in their spirit, ready to face the week that lies ahead. Father, touch them, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.